Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My special guest tonight is singer, guitarist, recording artist, Walter Crockett, and we're talking about his latest album, Children So Long. Walter, welcome to the show. It's such a pleasure to be talking to you about this album.
Hey, Mark, thanks so much. Nice talking to you, too, I tell you.
This is like a retrospective. I mean, some of these songs are relatively recent. Of course, we're both old guys.
Yeah.
But some of them go back in the day. Was the idea to do a sort of a best of?
No, it wasn't really. A thought came to me two Augusts ago, I believe it was, that I'd really like to do an album with Duke playing on it.
And then I thought, after his apparition appeared to you.
then it was just a matter of picking out the songs, because my songwriting had slowed down a little bit. I tend to write more if I'm in a band and I have a an outlet for it. So it had slowed down a little bit recently, though I did have some brand new songs I really liked, or they're relatively brand new songs. So it was a matter of looking for quality songs over the years that never had gotten on our Oxymoron albums, right. The Valerie and Walter Crockett albums, or that we did in an earlier band and were never recorded, and along with whatever, you know, whatever worked and a good balance of stuff. So I kept...
Did Duke have a lot of input on the choice of songs, or was it just you?
What I would do is make demos at home, and with me singing the, you know, two harmonies and playing rhythm guitar and then a little bit of lead, but I knew I could leave that up to the other musicians, you know, but just to give them a feeling of how the song is supposed to go. So I do a whole song, and I must have been, you know, 12 or so, 15, and we ended up choosing 10 of them, which is, I mean, we had to eliminate some things.
I was going to ask you, is this a short list from a longer, much longer list?
No, it's not much longer, really. It was, you know, I guess originally when I wrote the things down, yeah, I tried out a lot of stuff, but the stuff I sent to him, we did most of. We might have left three or four songs off it. I just had a lot of songs, and my feeling was that, you know, he's going to be producing and playing on it. I'd rather he goes with the things that he likes best out of that mix. You know, that was my attitude, both about the songs we choose and also the players we choose. I wanted to do it with guys that he gets along with, well, knows, and has played with, and get the whole Duke Levine experience.
At one point, I think you described a song as positively Dukeadelic.
Yeah, that was this song, Little Sunlight, which I had written. Actually, that's probably the oldest song on the album.
I think.
Wrote it, not quite, a little over 45 years ago.
Whoa, don't go there.
I know, it's terrible. I was a grown man, you know, so it wasn't like it was. I was 30 when I wrote it. You know, I'm pretty old. So it was a romantic song about a woman I had fallen in love with, and the two sides of her, really, kind of. And so we did it, and he made a couple suggestions in terms of I do it with a finger-picking thing where there's little and the chords move underneath the common bass line for a while, and he suggested I put that in another place, too, and that worked. And then at the end, we just they just took it out, and they kept taking it out, and they kept taking it out, and it ends up like... you know, Duke is very much into, among other things, mood and texture airiness and things like that that you don't always hear in rock and roll. And so with him and Kevin Berry and Tom West playing organ in the background, and it was like psychedelic, but in a... would I say a softer way? I can't quite... A dreamier way or something. I don't know.
That's the thing about this album. I think, you know, I'm a hardcore punker, and I listen to a lot of that. But there's not enough room for all the nuances and that kind of sound. And so when you listen to Children So Long, you're sort of swept away.
That's great.
We should, you know, while you're talking about production, let's talk about all the people that are on this record.
Okay.
So let's talk about, first of all, obviously Duke's there, but who else?
Well, Duke and Kevin Berry, who started playing with them back in Worcester, when they created the Joeys at Gilrain and other places. Kevin Berry came into town. I believe he came into town with Mighty Sam McClain, the blues guy, and somehow they got to know each other. I try to give myself credit for that, but I'm not sure it's true. But just take my word. I must have introduced him right. Kevin is a tremendous guitar player, a great, particularly blues guitar player. But he also had switched over to lap steel.
Right. And you can hear that on this CD.
Right. He plays all the songs he plays on lap steel except the title tune, Children So Long, in which he may even play lap steel on that, I can't recall, but he plays a guitar solo on that, which is a really nice jazzy, bluesy kind of solo, too. So, he's a great player. Marty Blue on bass is just a wonderful guy to play with. He's played with Duke Robillard and a bunch of other people. And he was just, there's something about his bass playing that's a little different. I don't know how to describe it, but it just fit immediately. And Tom West on keyboards has been in the Duke Levine group and played with him for many years. And Tom's a monster, too. And then Billy McGilvery, I call him Billy, but he goes by Bill these days, who was in my band Crockett back in the day, which Duke was, too. And Duke was just coming out of high school, actually even in high school. He started with this when he was in high school. He got credit for it. But so Bill McGilvery plays drums, and he's just a fine drummer. I've always felt comfortable with him because he's in the pocket, and he's really sensitive guy. So that was the main band. And we had Chris Rival was the engineer. He has a studio in North Reading, and he was just immense, too. I haven't been in a modern studio. So.
Well, you know, that was one of the things that impressed me about this, Walter, is the production values on this are top-notch.
Chris worked a long time on the mix, partly because he had to have hand surgery right after we finished. So we actually finished in October, and then he had two projects, and he had to have hand surgery. Oh. And he could only do a little work at a time for some months, but he just kept going and going, and and Duke would go back in, and he'd hear something, and he'd record stuff at home to little flourishes to add to it. So when you hear certain songs, that you'll hear a mandola or a banjo or things like that. Duke's playing it, and he just said, "Oh, I think I need this here. Or I got to double my electric guitar over here." And it was, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the work these guys put into it, because they really did do their best to make it stand out.
Oh, it's the sound on it is exquisite. I mean, the first time I've heard this, heard Children So Long to the last, I was just playing it just before we talked. Mm-hmm. It just sounds so good, besides the fact that the songs are great.
Yeah.
Now, you also have Chet Williamson on harp.
Chet Williamson we brought in. I've played with Chet for many years. You know, he's from the Worcester area. He lives a little to the east now, but Chet is the man. He's always a cat. You can't hurt him, but he plays great stuff.
And then there's Chuck and Mudd, too.
And Chuck and Mudd sang the harmonies, you know, and with Bob Dick. Who played bass for the Oxymorons and was also in the Blackstone Valley band. So Bob sang, there's a couple bass parts on there that I really love. I've always loved bass, back from the baseball, from the early days of rock and roll, you know, the doo-wop era. There was a lot more bass used in those days than there is now, and I've always liked it. So we had some on several songs. The final guy would be Dave Jakes, who was also in the band Crockett, and he spent the last, I think, 20 years as John Prine's bass player.
Oh, nice.
And John just passed away a year or so ago, and so Dave does funny horn things. You know, he had a band called the Bad Horns, where he would make up all the parts, I believe, you know, for people's records where they wanted a kind of horn section that sounded a little loose. And so for the first song, we asked him to put on this, you know, he played three different horns on it, and it added a good feeling to the, just the feeling we wanted for the song This Old Heart.
Which kicks off the album.
Yeah. Now, yeah. So he's on there for in cameo, too. So we have actually all the living members of Crockett Four are on there in one place or another. So that's good.
That must have felt great. But speaking of Crockett, okay, and I was thinking about this, and luckily you listed it in the, and I want to mention those great liner notes. That doesn't come across anymore. People don't do liner notes for MP3s. So I want to mention that Children So Long has fantastic liner notes. There's photographs. There's artwork. That's worth the price of admission alone. But but anyways, you listed some of the bands that you've played in, besides obviously Crockett. But it's an amazing number of bands that you've played in, Walter. The Prairie Oysters, Zonkeraz, the Wannabe Rabbits, the list goes on.
Yeah.
You're one of those musicians that just sort of plugged yourself in.
Yeah. It's, well, you know, you live long enough and you're going to play with a bunch of people, and there are a lot of good people to play with around Worcester. I really have enjoyed it, and all of them were growth experiences. I did have a few times early in life when I was kicked out of bands.
I find that hard to believe.
I know. I hate to say it, but there was one band we started, and then one day the drummer came over and he said, with the other lead singer, he said, "Well, you know, your songs really aren't as good as Lee's songs. You know, you've got to admit that, right?"
Whoa!
I said,
whoa!
Well,
whoa.
I don't think I have. No, but you know, we're talking, you know, a long time ago now, and this was in Boston. I was trying to start a band after the Prairie Oysters broke up, and so they, you know, they offered me to take a reduced role, and of course my pride was affected, and I said no. A year later, I was working in a bookstore, paperback booksmith in Harvard Square, and a year later, Lee, who was a nice guy, the other singer, came in, and he came up to the counter, and I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Oh, terrible." He had started, their band was actually playing some gigs around Boston and everything at this time, and he had, somebody had come up and robbed them at gunpoint and made them in their rehearsal studio, made them load up the car into their van and drove off with it.
Oh my,
I mean, it's
God.
Not a thing to laugh about, but
no, in retrospect though, maybe
at the time, actually, you know,
karma, it's karma.
Oh, that's terrible. What happened? He said, "Oh, the band broke up." And I said, "Oh, you know, I had friends in this band in Zonkeraz. They just invited me to join in Worcester, so I'm going to join that." And so that, you know,
that's every band is such a trip, though. And as you mentioned, it brings you into different places. Like I think the Prairie Oysters was the first band I saw you in, way back in the day when I grew up in Watertown, moved to go to Clark, and moved to Worcester. And I think the Prairie Oysters was the first band that I saw you in with Bill Fisher.
Yeah, and Bill Fisher, I still play with Bill today, you know. We were actually starting a new band, the Rabble Rounders.
Another band! Excellent!
Got a bunch of gigs coming up this summer.
Oh, my God. I want to talk about the songs on this album, because they just really hit home. So much of them are very, very personal. And I think, is that the key to writing a really good song?
You say that is the key?
Or is it the key? I'm just checking with you. I can't write for crap, so I'm in awe of anybody that can write a song. So tell me about you and songwriting. Did you start writing your own work?
Well, it's a funny thing, you know. I see it kind of like fishing these days. You know, if you don't go to the fishing hole and put the line in, you're not going to catch a fish. And if you do, you might not catch one either. But if you're not, for me, putting the line in is actually often taking a walk and humming to myself, and I sing syllables and stuff until I get like a phrase out of the blue. And then once I get a phrase with actual words, then I can see if I can embroider it into a story and have a melody that's strong. That's one reason I do it when I walk, is because if I'm playing a guitar and do it, which I also do, you know, I can be sitting down playing guitar and a song will come to me, but it's often limited by the chords that I often play on guitar, you know. So my technical guitar knowledge affects what happens with the melody. Whereas if I just walk, it may go other places, you know. I'm not limited. So I started doing that, you know, some time back. But I can never be sure what comes out. I don't usually have much success writing a song about a particular thing that I've started out thinking about. Sometimes I will start thinking and things that have been on my mind will pop out. Sometimes I'll get a fragment of a song in a dream. There are a couple on the album that were like that. But basically they just come out of nowhere. You know, you just have to be there to get them, and then you have to nurse them along and not play them in front of anybody and not expose them to the light too soon, you know, not get frantic about them. And some of them work and some of them don't.
Well, talk to me about the ones that work. And, you know, when I heard Fleet of Wooden Caskets on this.
Yeah, that was a song where the first line came to me in a dream, and I got up and I wrote three verses. And that wasn't long ago. That was just a year or two ago. And once I get started on a song like that, I guess you'd call it an apocalyptic song.
So is Carrying On. Roll On.
Roll On is too, and Carrying On is not quite apocalyptic.
No. Roll On, it was the Roll On I was thinking. You can't get more apocalypso than that.
No. And so, you know, obviously that's on my mind, you know. I mean, you're in the same position.
Oh, yeah. Well, those songs, that hit me to the core, both of those songs.
Yeah.
And the frightening thing is that they're so catchy.
Well, that's good. I like a hook is a good thing.
We might as well hum on the way to hell.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about Fleet of Wooden Caskets is it's really... It's kind of a jaunty song, you know.
Oh, it is.
Do 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 do, do. and it's with a very grim message. But I don't know how else to get it across. You know, people don't want to listen. We've been talking about this stuff for.
Oh God,
years.
I know. And it's not. We're not in any better situation. Don't get us started. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My very special guest tonight is singer, songwriter, guitarist, recording artist Walter Crockett, and we're talking about his new album. It is really good. Children So Long, which is one of the albums, one of the songs on the album, and that was a wonderful song. It's like passing the baton what that song is.
And that's, you know, that's funny. That's also one of the older ones. I wrote it when I was like half my age, half my current age, and so my perspective on it is different. It was really about my grandfather's dying, kind of, and trying to combine that with a lesson for humanity, kind of, without being preachy. And then now I'm older, you know. I'm my own grandpa, as they say, so it resonates a little more differently. And so just before the studio, I was sitting down, I was making the demo, and I knew I wanted to do some of the ends, so I left a bunch of space, and then I came back. This is just in my little, you know, room at home. And I just kept playing with lines till I ended up with what you'd pretty call almost a rap-like thing that fit the segment. And I was very happy with that. I'm happy to take – I had a couple songs there that were older that I added pieces to just before the record came out, and I was happy with that too. But yeah, it's and that came out of my spinners period. I was, you know, my orientation has been to, in playing has been to folk rock. Essentially.
Well, you write that in the liner notes, and it's funny, yeah. When I read that list of artists, it's people that I grew up with too: the Carter Family, Dave Von Ronk, Jim Kweskin, Jeff Muldaur, J.J. Cale. There's an album that I haven't played for a while, and the Spinners, of course.
So the Spinners is, you know, they're you know, a black, almost like a show group, but a lot of their music is almost what they would call elevator music these days, or has become. But it's great music, great production by Tom Bell, their producer. They made five consecutive albums that were good from beginning to end, every single song. You know, this is in the 70s, so I fell in love with them, I don't really have a soul voice as such, you know, and my outlook is different. But we were trying, or I was trying on that thing, to get some of that feeling in it, you know, and I think Duke and the guys really managed to do that.
Now, one song was inspired by a night vision of Duke. I think it's You Had It, which was done in 1992.
You had it, yes.
Talk to me about it. I mean, first of all, it sounds like a lot of weird things happen in your dreams.
To this very day, I tell you, it's probably worse now with the things going on in the world. It's just amazing. But in this case, you know, Crockett, we played 4 years, and we played a whole lot. We played all over New England, and you could make money playing original music in bars back then.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Duke wanted to move on. You know, he was ready, and we were already talking about having kids, and had stopped taking any precautions, to be honest. And so we just went with it, and the band broke up in late '82. We had our last two gigs at Sir Morgan's Cove. But then, you know, 10 years later, I'd been playing only at home and playing like going to bluegrass festivals, got into playing acoustic instead of electric, but still writing songs. And Duke was around town a lot, you know, he had also been making some records and everything, and he came to me in a dream. I'm talking to him, and he looked at me and he said, "You had it. You don't have it anymore." And I went, "Ooh."
Oh, whoa.
I woke up in a cold sweat. I mean, and it disturbed me so greatly that I got up and I wrote a song to change the subject. I mean, on the same subject, but I made that the line "You Had It" a more general song about people who were being
used
by business or whatever.
Well, this brings up another part of your music that I really appreciate, and is you have several songs that are political, like "You Had It," but it's not didactic. You know, it's not hitting you over the head. It's just the sentiment is there. It's like you have songs that are very based on really tragic incidences and sad incidences that happened, and like "This Time I Can't Stop Crying,"
right?
But they don't come off as maudlin. I don't know how else to describe it. The way that you capture the sentiment in the song is genuine and heartfelt.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think that is a big trick. It's very hard writing, say, a protest song or a topical song, not making it didactic. And you got to say that both Fleetwood and Caskets and Roll On sort of fit that mold. I'm trying to say something there, but also make it entertaining and you know, it's tough. You know, that's the art in it, and that's what I really love. It's, you know,
and there's even romance. It's funny, Sheila and I, who have been together since Donkey's days, "These Days Are Ours," the final song of the album. It's just a great song for older couples.
Oh, that's one of. I'm glad you like that. You know, that was. I was thinking. You know, when my wife Nancy and I got together, you know, both of us, at any age, even when you're young, you're coming into a relationship with baggage, you know?
And, oh, yeah.
And you got to deal with it. And at some point or other, you got to say, hey, yeah, this happened to me when I was this age, and this happened to me when I was that age, and I still, you know, feel weird about this, but hey, man, you know, you got to live your life. So that was kind of...
Well, it's like This Old Heart, which kicks off the album. And I think there are certain things where you really need to live some years to appreciate deeply.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
well, that's good because my fans have lived some years.
Well, I think this album's going to bring in hopefully a lot of new fans too, because, like I said, the songs are freaking great, and the production is fantastic. I mean, this album swings. It's really great.
Well, I
hate to be pouring it on, but I actually had like an epiphany listening to this record. It was good. It was good.
Oh, that's wonderful. I really do appreciate that.
Now, I hope you're going to record still some more.
Yeah, I'm going to try to. You know, I feel I have at least two more albums there between songs I will write.
Now, where can people get this album if they want to?
Pardon?
Where can people get the album?
They can get it at this point. The only place to get it is by sending an email to waltercrockettsongs.com. That's easy enough.
Okay.
Walter Crockett with two T's on the Crockett, waltercrockettsongs.com. No spaces or anything like that. And if they do that, waltercrockettsongs@gmail.com.
Okay. waltercrockettsongs@gmail.com.
Yeah, let me say that again. At this point, the only way people can get the album is by sending an email to waltercrockettsongs@gmail.com.
Okay, great.
And it's I'm selling it for like $15 and $3 in postage. And if you live in Worcester, I might deliver it to you the money. But my basic feeling is, you know, I want people who will appreciate it to hear it. I'm more concerned in that than trying to. You know, things have changed in the music industry, and things have changed in terms of how old I am, you know. And I don't have illusions about having a giant hit with the album or anything like that. Though, you know, frankly, I think it's worth it. But
it is.
We're
out of time, Walter. It is worth it.
Okay.
My guest tonight, singer-songwriter, guitarist, recording artist, Walter Crockett, and we've been talking about his album. Give it a listen. Children, So Long. Walter, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Mark. I really appreciate it.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.